Although the living entities known as human beings are very small in quantity, that division may be still further subdivided. For there are many uncultured human beings like Mlechas, Pulindas, Baldas, and Sabaras. So there is no purport. Go to the next verse, 146. Veda nista madye ardeka veda muke mane Veda nishida papakare dharmana igane. Among human beings, those who are followers of the Vedic principles are considered civilized. Among these, almost half simply give lip service while committing all kinds of sinful activities against these principles. Such people do not care for the regulative principles. Please repeat. Among human beings, those who are followers of the Vedic principles are considered civilized. Among these, almost half simply give lip service while committing all kinds of sinful activities against these principles. Such people do not care for the regulative principles. Purport. The word Veda means knowledge. Supreme knowledge consists of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him and acting according to that relationship. Action in accordance with the Vedic principles is called religion. Religion means following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic principles are the injunctions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aryans are civilized human beings who have been following the Vedic principles since time immemorial. No one can trace out the history of the Vedic principles set forth so that man might understand the Supreme Being. Literature or knowledge that seeks the Supreme Being can be accepted as a bona fide religious system. But there are many different types of religious systems according to the place, the disciples, and the people's capacity to understand. The highest type of religious system is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.26. Thus, Savaipum sam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshade. The highest form of religion is that by which one becomes fully conscious of the existence of God, His form, name, qualities, pastimes, abode, and all pervasive features. When everything is completely known, that is the perfection of Vedic knowledge. The fulfillment of Vedic knowledge is systematic knowledge of the characteristics of God. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Vedaischa sarveraham eva vedya. The aim of Vedic knowledge is to understand God. Those who are actually following Vedic knowledge and searching after God cannot commit sinful activities against the Supreme Lord's order. However, in this age of Kali, although man profess to belong to so many different kinds of religion, most of them commit sinful activities against the orders of the Vedic scriptures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says herein, Veda Nishitta Papakare Dharma Nai Gane. In this age, man may profess a religion, but they actually do not follow the principles. Instead, they commit all kinds of sins. Om Agyana Simrandasya Sattara Sakshatam Yutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vismitaya Krishna Pastaya Tali Srimati Satsvara Vrasva Swami Tenami Namam Vismitaya Krishna Pastaya Tali Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tenami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacharya Zadani. So here we are in the purport where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. After Srila Rupa Goswami and his brother were able to free themselves from their mundane duties and they were able to escape from this material entanglement, then they took shelter from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after visiting Vrindavan, instructed Sri Rupa Goswami in the highest knowledge of devotional service. And in the previous verses it was explained that that the living entity is the size of 1/10,000 of a tip of a hair. If you split a hair 100 times, then another one, that particular part, again 100 times, that is the size of the soul. And also the fact that the soul has the same qualities as the Lord, but it is much less powerful. The Lord has all these qualities in the greatest extent, and the living entity has it in a minute power. Like the living entity may have a little power, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited power. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains here that amongst human beings, those who are followers of the Vedic principles, they are considered civilized. But he points out that even those who would from themselves say that they are following Vedic principles, even amongst them, he was saying like 50% are doing lip service. That means they say that they are followers of Vedic principles, but in actuality they are not. Uh, Veda means knowledge, and Veda means knowledge, means understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and understanding also our relationship with Him. And also it includes that we act according to that. So not just understanding the Lord, not just understanding our relationship with Him, but also action related to that. Action that proves that relationship. Action that understands what is our relationship with Him. So it's not just words, it's not just thinking, it's also acting upon that knowledge, that understanding. And Sri Prabhupada in the purport also explains religion. He says religion means following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also another meaning of religion is that there is, within that religion, there is action according to the Vedic principles. Then we can speak about religion. Wikipedia explains that religion is a belief in and worship of God or gods, or a set of beliefs in the universal aspects. And it also says that it's usually included, that there are devotional or ritual observances. That's what Wikipedia says. So we also see now, like in interfaith circles, that there is a tendency to want to include the humanists, but the humanists, at least in Belgium, I don't know how that is general, but the humanists, they are coming from an atheist background. So I don't know if that's in all countries like that, but at least in Belgium it is like that. So, and then there are discussions, why do we not include the humanists in our circle of religious groups? But according to this explanation by Srila Prabhupada, where religion means following the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also to act according to the Vedic principles, and then it is clear that one cannot be called religious if one doesn't believe in the existence of God. Srila Prabhupada uses also the name Aryan. Aryans are civilized human beings who have been following the Vedic principles since time immemorial, Srila Prabhupada says. So the Aryans, several occasions Srila Prabhupada uses that name because they are real followers of the Vedic system, of the Vedic knowledge. They are exemplary in other words, they are Vaishnavas who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to Vedic principles. And so Prabhupada explains also in this purport that the highest type of religious system is described in the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verse 6. It's Savaipum Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adoksaje Ahaituki Apratyahata Yayatma Suprasidati. So the verse, translation of that verse is: the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which man can attain to loving devotional service. And this question came from when the sages in Naimisaranya were gathered, and then they wanted to ask an essential question to Sutta Goswami, because they wanted to ask questions not just for themselves, because these sages were quite advanced in knowledge, but that they wanted to use the opportunity to have some realized personality amongst them, Sutta Goswami. They wanted to use the opportunity to ask some essential questions. So they wanted to know what is the most important, what is the essential part of the revealed scriptures, so that fallen people can easily take to it, can easily take to Krishna consciousness. So then they approached in that mood the Sarasuta Goswami. And then Sarasuta Goswami said, the supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which man can attain to loving devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. And then Srila Prabhupada explains that about the two paths. Path is marga, so pravritti marga and nivritti marga. And that there is the path the living entity can choose to go for sense enjoyment, or there is the path of renunciation, and where that leads to. And the path of devotional service leads one to re-establish the eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's where devotional service leads to. Because in essence, Krishna consciousness is nothing new, in the sense that we have been carried away, and our consciousness has been carried away, and our condition being carried away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and from the link with Him, then we have become in illusion, we have become covered, we have gotten into material things, material consciousness, material habits, So, but our eternal position, being deep in us, being the eternal servant of the Lord, that has never changed. It has been covered over, but it has always remained there. It's not that that has faded away and it's not there anymore. No, that has always remained there. Just that there we have gotten layers and layers of illusion and conditioning and habits. And we know how difficult it is even to change in our daily lifestyle. To change one little habit. It's so difficult. If we have a bad habit, somebody has to remind us as a child or even as an adult. Adult, there is even more false ego involved many times. But as a child, you know, you have to say 100 times the same thing to this child before he gets it. So this is how strong habits are and how difficult things are to change. But deep in us, this relationship with the Lord has never left us. It has always been there in full capacity. Just that we didn't have the capacity to make that link, to re-establish that original relationship due to being so deeply rooted in material life. And because we choose for the Pravritti Marga, the path of sense gratification, that was our choice at some point, and then we went into deeper and deeper. And now we have to, now that we have come to the understanding, we have to again work ourselves up and to break down these walls between the soul and the super soul, between us and Krishna. But by itself, it is the most natural. It's the most natural thing to do. It's the most natural lifestyle to live. It's the most natural activity. Devotional service is the most natural activity. So that's why this verse, the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity, there are no exceptions. It's not that it's a process which works for one and not for of the other. It's not that this truth, that Krishna is in our heart and that we have an eternal relationship with him. It's not that this is a truth for some people and for other people. No, it's for all humanity. Is that by which man can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So why it has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self? So Prabhupada explains that also. He says that devotion service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. He says this is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotion service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. So naturally, if we understand the process of Krishna consciousness and we put ourselves on the path of devotional service, then we have to, as it says here in this verse, we have to watch that we try to do the devotional service without material motivations, unmotivated. Because if again we combine material motivations and devotional service, then naturally it's going to take more time. If we, in the process of Krishna, when we take to Krishna consciousness, finally after so many lifetimes, then we are rightly situated to reconnect with the Lord. But then, again, if then we start to mix devotion service and material motivations, then it's like sand in the sweet rice. It disturbs the process by itself. Is a beautiful process because we go back to our original position and to our original loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. But then this desire to mix devotion service with material activities, that comes in, and that's obviously a disturbance in that process. That's why in the verse stated, it says that it should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Naturally, uninterrupted also, we can understand if we are on the process and we are initiated devotee, we have made our vows, and then if we interrupt that process, if we stop chanting, or if we stop following the principles, then naturally that is also going to be an obstacle in our progress. Because the process is carefully laid out, the process how to make progress in our spiritual life is carefully laid out by the self-realized personalities who have already re-established their relationship with the Lord. So they are advising, so Prabhupada is advising to follow, to chant a certain number of rounds, to follow a certain principles. So this is carefully laid out, this process, how to, in the most effective way, re-establish our relationship with the Lord. So if we are going to bring in other motivations, or we are going to interrupt and stop that progress, that is a pity, because it's the perfect process to bring us in one lifetime back to Godhead. So, and naturally that difficulties will be there, that's clear, but we should try to whatever obstacles come on our path, which can be many, we should try to overcome these obstacles. Just like when we have a clear goal in life, then we we are going to go for it. And the goal is there. Maybe it's far away, but we have set our mind on achieving that goal. So here also, Srila Prabhupada has given us that goal to goal of bhakti yoga, of developing loving relationship with the Lord. And it may seem, or it may even be far away, but if we keep that goal in mind, then we will arrive there. And then we will also have the courage to overcome whatever obstacles we may meet today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, etc. In that same purport, Sri Prabhupada says that we have purposely denoted dharma as occupation, that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living entities or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and it is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. The relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progress. Everyone, Srila Prabhupada is encouraging here, everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. I will stop here. Any comments, questions? To live outside and have a job is not necessarily an impediment. I mean, Sri Prabhupada wanted us, I mean, he encouraged many people to keep their job and add Krishna to it. Of course, it's not possible for all jobs, but for most jobs it's possible. And so in that sense, that doesn't really doesn't necessarily interfere with the activity one is doing. So unmotivated Because if you do your activity and the money you're using to sustain your family, and then you are doing your basic duty in life. So there is not much to say about that. If you earn a lot of money and you start to live an unnecessarily luxurious life, and then, you know, then that may be a different thing, because why would you spend unnecessarily, you know, big money on big cars and big traveling and big things which are not necessary? That is, it is more in that sense that, you serve in a temple, and because of certain ambition, you are striving for a certain position, etc. That is that's where motivations start to become foggy and mixed, and that's where we start to do mixed devotional service. But in the case of somebody working outside and having his money for maintenance like that, at the same time practicing Krishna consciousness, Sri Prabhupada clearly encouraged many people to do that. Of course, it may not, there may be other things which may be a little bit lacking in that situation. It might be more difficult to associate with devotees, which is because you may not be able to associate on your work, during your work, or you may have to live far away from other devotees. These are impediments which in themselves there's nothing wrong, but they are handicaps in the sense that there is a strong advantage in being able to live either with other devotees together, or to live in a Grihastha community where many Grihasthas are living and where they are weekly meeting together, etc. So there are other things that may hamper and that may ultimately lead to getting carried away from Krishna consciousness, because one is not strong enough to sustain his Krishna consciousness without the association. But in the direct sense, there is no problem with that. No, because you need to, as a Grihastha, you have to take responsibility for your family, so you need to take a job, and you need to take a job which is according to your varna and your propensities, so that you can sustain it somewhat in a happy way. Otherwise, it's very difficult. You make it extra difficult for yourself if you don't like your job, and so then one should be able to do an activity that he can do for many years, and in this way, in a responsible way, take care of his family and the studies of the children, etc. And I'm sorry, Mataji was first.
Mixing emotions, because we have this alternative emotions, even if it's like somebody like or even recognition of your service or these things, and you need to do the service anyways, but these motivations are there, so how to avoid to
kind of. Yeah, I mean, the struggles in our heart are there, and they are also, that's also a mixing of devotion service. But I think that's why at some places it is like here it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is pointed out, and it was one of the key answers on a key question. So that means it's like an important element to regularly weed out in our heart this propensity to mix pure devotion service, you know, to mix it with, it's naturally going in a conditioned soul, the tendency to mix it is there, but at least this verse will help us to remind, to weed out this unwanted motivations which are there in our heart, and to try to keep our desire for devotional service, for pure devotional service, to try to keep our desire, you know, to the maximum possible way. But the tendency, and yes, if you let things go, or we don't give attention, then sure, the possibility will even increase. Sorry, that's what.
Various Vaishnavas have written that they're among this group described as committing sinful acts, even though they're supposed to be followed out of compassion.
Yeah, first it says, among human beings, those who are followers of the Vedic principles are considered civilized. That's already one category. It's not everybody. Those who are followers of Vedic principles are considered civilized. Amongst these, almost half simply give lip service while committing all kinds of sinful activities against these principles. Such people do not care for the regulative principles. I mean, you know, we see that when we meet or when we go to India, and you know, you may meet somebody on the train, and we say, you want to say something, they say, oh yeah, I know Krishna. I'm also, you know, I'm also a follower. And basically he wants to say, stop, no need to, don't change my mind or something. So, I guess that's what is meant here, that people easily consider them as following the Vedic path, and then, but you know, it's very limited what they are following, or what they know, or especially what they really know, is very limited, and I think they belong to this category. If the 50% is increasing according to the advancement of Kali Yuga, I don't know, it will also depend of the advancement of the Krishna conscious movement. So they will, one will want to go one direction, the other will make it go the other direction. So that depends on our purity and our desire to spread Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls.
At least, it's for me a little controversial. Once I heard older devotees say that Western society is much more Vedic than present India. And the question is, how far away is India from the original Vedic order we are speaking about, and how much is Western world supposed to ask this? In fact, that quote was claiming that when you go to sports for media, no one is sorry, but they are only taking you from your properties, but in media they will take us, so they will see how to do it. We are speaking about Vedic orders, Vedic principles, which are in fact just our Eastern brand, which is more or less not so
big. Yeah, I think in both places, that's why Srila Prabhupada came, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. I mean, both places need Krishna consciousness input and real Krishna consciousness. But to say that the West is closer to the Vedic system than India, I think that's just based on the fact that if you put your... in 75 when I went to India, I put my watch on the sink and... Because it was so hot, it was the first day I arrived there, and then I had the urge to go to the toilet, so I forgot to put my watch. I went just to pass water 3 meters further, and when I came back, my watch was gone. So that was my first experience in India. But to based on that, to conclude that that the West is more close to Krishna, to Vedic life or Krishna consciousness than India, I think it's not. It's a very shortcut. I think we do see, we do see that there are many, millions of people who really are still, much closer to Vedic life. Although they may also be, minor adjustments to be made, and hopefully these people will not conclude too quick that they know everything. But we also see how, although Srila Prabhupada started in the West, but once he came back, it's not, and the devotees started to preach in India. We see also today, the preaching is flourishing like anything. And why is that? Because they are much more close to Krishna consciousness than the people in the West. That's why, little brushing off of the dust and they get back into, the ashrams there are full of life, full of brahmacharis, full of, so it's so easy. A student, can be there today studying in the university, and then tomorrow can live in the temple, or he combines it, living in the temple by studying in university. They are much more close in that sense than we are. And this point of stealing, I don't know. I think there is some kind of principle that anything which is not directly carried by a person is for everybody. I think it's more something like that than we call it immediately stealing. I think they call it Krishna's arrangement or something. Prabhupada ki jai.